Hi, Odyssey fans. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Coming up on the podcast, we'll be talking to another Jesse who's a big part of the recent episode, Legally Wooten. And no, it's not Jess Harnell. Yet another Jess.
You can never have too many. But first, here's the latest news.
Album 74, Buckle Up, is now fully available in the Adventures in Odyssey Club. That means all six episodes, from Game Night to Renee Renewed to King of My Heart, plus the bonus feature, can be heard right now in the club.
And it's coming soon to download. You can grab these episodes on iTunes, Amazon, and the Focus on the Family store starting February 1st.
This is an eventful album, Jess. We hear what's next for Jason, Jillian, Olivia, Maury, Suzu, and even Buck and Jules.
And it's the first to feature a new contributor to Odyssey, Jesse Kellum IV.
Jesse is Odyssey's latest writer apprentice, and his first show was Legally Wooten. Let's talk to him about how he got to Odyssey, the challenges of his first episode, and what's ahead.
And the gift of having the name Jesse. Well, as a fellow Jesse, it's an honor to welcome you, Jesse, to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Jesse. Jesse's are always great.
That's right.
I feel like I'm on the outside of this thing.
Well, this time you are, Bob. Let's start not with the beginning of your writing career, but the beginning of your writing. So what's the first piece you ever remember writing as a child?
Oh, man. That's hard, but I would want to say probably preschool.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how many words I actually got on the page, but I do know it was a story because I probably could barely write. But it was a story about Batman. I did not know what copyrights were, so don't judge me. And he was going against something I thought was fairly sinister. His name was Muffinhead.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that's because I was tired of muffins at snack time. So
so they were evil, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm curious, what happened to Muffinhead?
Well, it was preschool, so I don't think I fully grasped beginning, middle, and end for stories. But he walked around in a business suit, so.
Okay. We don't know exactly what his motivation was. But
right.
Well, like many people interested in writing, Jesse, you created stories for events at your church. One of them was a courtroom drama. Tell us about that story. What sort of feedback did you get that encouraged you to keep writing?
Okay. So Henry's Christmas was about a lawyer named Henry Smith, who told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He had a friend who needed his help because he was being sued for putting Christian decorations in his store, and Henry sprung into action to defend his case. But he was also battling issues at home. His daughter wasn't going to be able to come for Christmas, and his wife was dying in a hospital. It was kind of dramatic when you think about it.
Yeah, wow.
People still walked around in business suits, but the story had a beginning, middle, and end.
Okay, so what did people have to say? I mean, obviously, you were inspired to keep going.
Yes, the amount of positive feedback I got from that play was so incredible. You would have thought I'd won a Tony or something. I was grinning from ear to ear, walking around. One moment in particular was my Aunt B, who was in the audience. After everything was said and done, she pulled me aside and was giving her review. And she'll let you know if she thinks something is terrible or not. But
you need those people in your life.
That's
you
right.
really do.
Yeah. But she was telling me how much the story made sense, how it had heart and it had humor. And then she ended it with, "And you wrote this." And then she said, "Don't stop writing." And I didn't, so thanks, Aunt B.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, because a lot of people like to write, right? A lot of people fancy themselves writers, and writing is a wonderful thing that all people, you know, should do, like keeping a journal or whatever, just the whole creative process. But you're pursuing it as a career, and that can be a little scary. So what made you decide to follow this path?
Well, I've always heard to do what you love, right?
Yeah.
And storytelling is something that I can't get enough of, so might as well get paid for it, right? Plus, you know, you're just inspired by different people in the Bible, like Jesus, who utilized storytelling. And he might not have been a professional author or anything, but his stories have held up for over 2,000 years. So,
right.
And he's called us to be like him, so There's a connection there somewhere.
Wow. I'm a writer editor, and I use a computer for everything, right? But not you, Jesse, which I think is interesting. You use a pencil and paper for many steps in the writing process. Why do you work that way?
Well, writing things out tends to require more engagement of the brain than typing away at the keys. Some may argue otherwise, but they're not being interviewed currently. And when you're in school, you take a lot of notes, and it was just easier for me to do. Now, since I've been here, it's changed a little bit because I have to send things out to so many different people, Marshall and then the team and everybody. But whenever I get the chance to go old school, that's probably what I'm going to do. Plus, I don't trust computers, so.
How did you hear about the apprenticeship with Odyssey in the first place? Walk us through your journey of applying and then interviewing for the job.
So Liberty, the school I graduated from, has an alumni page, and I figured I'd give it a shot. You know, at least I can say that I tried. I was scrolling through the page, and there was something about Adventures in Odyssey, and I'm like, oh, I love Adventures in Odyssey. And then it was a opening for a writer's apprentice, and I was like, oh, writing, that's kind of my thing. And so I said, I'll apply. I don't know if they'll actually accept me. I'm Jesse, you know. But about 3 days later, I got a call from Focus. And a few days after that, I was on a Zoom meeting with Marshall Younger, who's written, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how much, and has crafted so much of my childhood, I would say.
So what were the first words out of your mouth when you found out you got the apprenticeship?
Are you sure? No, it was probably somewhere along the lines of, praise the Lord. But then I remembered that I was still on the phone and tried to keep my professionalism going. So it's like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And then you called Aunt B and said, guess what?
Yes. Of course, yes. Her and the whole family.
Well, that's awesome. Now, what were your first words that came to mind when you found out that Focus had a really, really nice gym? Because I've seen you in there a few times, and that's what brings up this episode's
TRQ,
or totally random question. It's from Christmas, of all people, wanting to know, if you could be in the Olympics, which event would you compete in?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I was delighted when I found out that we had a gym. When I first got here, it was closed down.
True.
And right. It was kind of looking like it wasn't going to open up anytime
soon. They were renovating
soon.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well.
Just for you.
That's how it felt. It was like a present. It's like, thanks, Focus. And if I had to compete in anything, I'd say swimming. I'm not saying that I'd win, but that was kind of my
thing. That would be your event.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. How about you, Jesse?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Let's see. If I was in the Olympics, what event? I mean, maybe just something weird like the hammer throw or the javelin. This looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know why curling probably what I'd end up doing.
You're going winter on this, Bob.
I don't know. But all right. So thank you, Christmas, for that TRQ. And we appreciate everyone who has contributed some of those in the club.
You mentioned Marshall Younger earlier. And of course, he is a writing giant, not only for Odyssey, but so many books and other, manuscripts and things he's worked on. He's your boss and also responsible for your training. So I got to find out, what has been the most important lesson you've learned from him so far?
Yeah, I remember reading Kids Bureau back in school and doing book reports on those works. I guess that was me critiquing him, but now he critiques me daily. So it's kind of interesting to think about. But as far as the most important lesson, when you're writing for characters that have been around for 30 plus years, you have to make sure you're writing in those characters' voices. Like, mm-hmm. We can say something that's wise, but if it comes out in a Wooten-like fashion, it's just going to come off as weird.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's very different from, say, college, when you're coming up with your own characters and you can do what you want to do because no one's really expecting anything. But here at Adventures in Odyssey, we have expectant in excellence and things of that nature. So
you got a history to live to, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And of course, as showrunner, Marshall Younger always wants to make sure that there is a point and that it's entertaining the way that we deliver it. So he invites us to pitch ideas, and some of them he connects with very quickly. And others he might say, maybe not that one, or at least not now. We'll kind of put that one on the back burner. So my question for you is, when Legally Wooten, when you pitched that idea, what was, do you think, that connected with Marshall where he said, green light, that's the one I want you to go for?
I choose not to think that that was the only thing that was good on, because he gave me a list of, I had a list of ideas, and, you know, he picked that one. But no, he really wanted to have an episode where Wooten was pulling a filibuster.
Okay.
And apparently he had been trying to do that for a while. So I guess when I got here and I kind of put Wooten's own trial for something that he didn't do, it's like, what does that look like? And it's like, would he be confident with his answer? Would he try to go around this and that to get to his point? And Marshall's like, ah, yes, this could work. So,
How different is the final episode from the one you initially pitched?
Oh, there's a bunch of different stuff. Penny was supposed to have a bigger B story. We ran out of time for that. We were supposed to learn that she comes from a family who's had a history of being sued, and she wants Wooten to put an end to all of that. And then I think there was something with a butcher in a meat factory or something.
And that got cut.
Man, yes. Cut. I like it. Good one.
Almost immediately.
We in the club have devotions for every single episode that we've ever done. Over 950 episodes have 950 devotions. And the writer of the devotion for Legally Wooten made it a point to say how much she enjoyed that episode. So there you go. You're already winning fans even before it came out.
Wow.
So sometimes the lesson drives the story. Sometimes it's the other way around. How did you come upon the theme for this story? And was it there from the beginning, or was it something that emerged?
I think the theme just came out draft after draft, because I want to say forgiveness was the original one. I could be wrong. But then we went to grace and then mercy, and then I think we went back to grace. And so eventually we got to, it's both grace and mercy. When do you show grace? When do you show mercy? Turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love how you're talking about the different drafts this went through, because so many people who maybe aren't professional writers don't realize how many drafts something goes through before it's a final product, before it gets published or gets produced, like an Odyssey episode. And I always remember my first story that I got published in Breakaway magazine, 28 years ago here, Focus on the Family. You actually got to watch your episode be recorded via Zoom. And when it finished, I think Marshall said that, like, you just smiled the whole time. So what was it like watching this thing that you put so much work into come to life?
Nothing short of amazing. I mean, by the time I got to watch the actors say the lines that I had written out, and not just any actors, these are actors I've heard all through my childhood, all through teenhood, through the college years. And, you know, Connie Kendall is actually saying something that you've written. And then Jess Harnell, Wooten Bassett, telling me at the end, keep writing things, and not just keep writing things, keep writing things for me. I thought that was interesting. Nothing short of amazing. It was great.
And then most recently, you got a chance to do something else, and that is direct. We went to California together. You were able to come out for the session. And with Marshall's help, you actually directed two shows that you'd worked on. What was that like?
Okay, that was nothing short of amazing, but it was also, a lot of work. So I feel it could be a little nerve-wracking for a lot of people, or at least on different shows, but the amount of kindness and patience I think that the Odyssey actors had toward me was very nice. Connie was funny. Katie Lee was very funny, because she told me the night before that she's going to have a thing or two to say when we get into the recording session. She's like, there's going to be some lines that I probably will say, hey, I'd rather say it this way. And that's just how it's going to be. And so that did happen.
At least she warned you.
and then she stopped everything and said, and Jesse, this is one of those moments. I don't want to say this. So I was like, okay, fine.
That first time in the recording studio, just I was blown away by the amount of talent. And like you said, how good they are at their craft and what they bring to the characters and what they bring to Odyssey is just amazing. It was definitely the highlight. And I know it was your highlight. So what was maybe the second most exciting thing about going to Burbank?
So that was the furthest west I've ever been. So there was a lot. I would have to say a tie between Universal Studios with the Odyssey team.
Cool.
And walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had the privilege, Jesse, of actually walking with Jess when we were going down the Walk of Fame. And he was, every time he'd see a name, he'd get excited. And it was funny because, and we also went to Grumman's Chinese, got to look at some of the footprints.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Jesse, our cubicles are catty-cornered to each other, which means if you lean back in your chair and I lean back in mine, we're about 5 feet apart and we have conversations all the time. So it's great to be able to do it in front of a microphone with you finally. Thank you for being on the podcast. Really good to get to know you a little bit better and for our listeners to, you know, hear a little more about your background.
Yes, it was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You can hear Legally Wooten on download in a few days. It'll be out on CD in March and on the radio and online later this year.
Or you can hear it right now in the Adventures in Odyssey Club, along with the rest of Album 74, Buckle Up.
And that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at adventuresinodyssey.com or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. Floria, not Kellum, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Focus on the Family and Adventures in Odyssey present the Imagination Station books, an exciting series for readers ages 6 and up. Through wit's greatest invention, young readers will travel to the Colosseum in ancient Rome and a longboat in Greenland.
I am Eric the Red.
They're Vikings.
And there's so much more. When you visit theimaginationstation.com, you can find study guides and devotionals, plus fun family activities. More information at theimaginationstation.com or 1-800-A-FAMILY.